But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So here we see the church had decided they're going to give, and Paul was making, just reminding them of this, and he points out that in verse 7 there, that God loves a cheerful giver. And I think that's a very important point. We should remember that when we remember who our things are and what good they can do, we can be cheerful about giving them. And then at the end of this passage, he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And I had to think, you know, we compare the gift that we give, the giving that we do, with God's unspeakable gift. There's no comparison. We can't give anything close to what God has given us. And that comes to help us make that gift cheerfully. Another point is to give voluntarily. That's the thing. Another thing we see these Corinthians doing here, and also in the Old Testament, the Israelites were asked to give for the work, for the building of the tabernacle. In Exodus 35 and 36, it talks about how that the people came and they gave this, they gave that. Each man had something to give. Some people had more, some people had less. But it very specifically and many times points out that they should give with a willing heart. It says, everyone who is of a willing heart. And it says that phrase, willing heart, over and over again in that passage. And I just had to think how important it is, that how valuable that is in God's eyes when we give with a willing heart. You know, Jesus gave so willingly to us. How much easier it should be to give willingly of what we have, of our finances, to God, who gave more than we can ever repay, willingly. God wants a willing heart. Another one is to give sacrificially. And, you know, I think this is probably one that many of us probably have the hardest time doing, because to give sacrificially in our society is pretty difficult. Maybe I shouldn't say difficult. It's a lot. And I'd like to read this passage of Jesus and his observations of people giving in the temple. In Mark, it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So this passage makes two points. First is to is the value that God places on giving sacrificially. And he's looking at her heart here. He sees that her heart was so in tune with him that she was willing to give to the point that it hurt. And also that the amount of money that you give is not the point here. The point is the attitude and the response that you're giving to God by your giving. You know, we've all heard stories, read stories about people who have given and who have maybe even received in a monetary way things that they asked of the Lord, and to the exact number of dollars that they needed. You know, God is able to provide for these people. And this widow She not only gave sacrificially, but she had an understanding that God would be able to provide everything that she needed for the next day, her very living. He would be able to provide that. Have you given to the point of need? Have I given to the point of need? Probably very few Americans can say they've done that. Sometimes we feel like it's a sacrifice to pay the bill that came in the mail, but giving to the point of need is not probably very common. Some statistics that I came across of giving in the USA, it says, and this comes from 2006, Americans gave about $295 billion to charity. Yet when you measure the giving as a measure of sacrifice, it's sort of interesting that the low-income working families of U.S. Gave a higher percentage of their income than did the upper-income people. I thought that was interesting. And yet, the average charity of Americans is only 3%. So I'm sure there's a lot more that could be given. The other thing I had would like to point out is to give thankfully. And, you know, when we see what God has done for us, like you pointed out there in Corinthians about God's unspeakable gift, we can give thankfully. We can give gladly, knowing that what we give is such a small portion of what God can provide. And we've been so blessed. You know, the last one I have is to give wisely. And I guess this would be the only maybe tempering thought here that I have is to give, there are places where you can give money that is unwise in the world today. And I think it's important that we are careful that we give money to places that use it properly. But here's another observation I made about giving, and is that the proper look at tithing and giving seems to have come after periods of revival. I noticed this in the Old Testament. Hezekiah made his reformations in Israel. He brought the people back properly following God's law. He brought them back to proper worship. And one of the things that came out of that was the proper practice of tithing. They wanted to tithe, they wanted to give their money. That was all part of that reformation or that revival that came through Hezekiah. The next one was in Nehemiah. When Nehemiah, after the wall was built, people, they started to read the law, they mourned, they were sorry for the neglect that they had neglected the law to such an extreme degree. And out of that came a renewed desire to give, to tithe, to give to the church. And people came. They wanted to give. This little story came out of a book that I read. And it was in that book by Gary Miller, I believe. But there's a man named Sam Houston. And he was a very coarse and belligerent fella. And he was older, and he became converted. He became baptized. And he was baptized, and he wanted to give money to the church. He gave quite a bit. And people asked him, "Wow, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, when I was baptized, my pocketbook was baptized too." And, you know, I think that's how it should be with us. We should have, every part of us should be changed when Christ comes into our heart, even our finances. And there's a principle here that you notice too. In Malachi, it talks about pouring out a blessing that we can't contain. And I can't imagine that blessing that comes out. And he's specifically talking about tithing there. And then also in Proverbs, there's a principle that seems to go along with this tithing. In Proverbs, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." I believe there's a principle that follows tithing, and that is a blessing from God by honoring Him with what we have and our increase. He will honor us with a blessing. Another story that my wife pointed out to me was about a man who was converted by D.L. Moody at age 14. He was a poor person, and he didn't have much. But he read this verse in Genesis where Jacob promises God to give him, this was before the law came, but Jacob voluntarily promised God that he would give him a tenth of all that he had. He read that verse, and he noticed that after Jacob made this promise, he went out, he was joined with Laban, and he became very prosperous just right after this happened. And he was impressed by that. He decided, you know, I'm going to be faithful in giving God my tithe. I'm going to be faithful in giving to God. So he did that. Soon after that, he was blessed with money enough to start a business. His business grew, and it grew, and it got better. And then his business was based in the city of San Francisco. And around the turn of the century, there was an earthquake there, and the earthquake shook the whole city, and it started fires, and a lot of the city burnt down. And his factory was in the middle of that area that was burnt. And he didn't live there in that area at that time. His friends all said, you know, forget it. Your whole factory's burnt down. It's gone. There's no hope. And after a while, he found the news, and his people told him, yeah, that's probably the case. We haven't got a chance to go there. It's so hot. We haven't had a chance to go visit the place. Finally, they were able to go there, and they said, no, your factory is one of the only buildings standing in the area. And he was amazed that here his factory had survived this fire. And this person became a chronic giver to God for all that God had done for him. And this was an attitude that he had that followed his devotion to God, his desire to be what God wanted him to be, and his desire to follow God completely prompted him to do these things. And his name was Alexander Carr, I'm not sure how you say it. And a lot of you, when you open up a can of green beans, probably see his name there, because that's the guy who started the Carr Jar Company. So, you know, for myself and for all of us, we need to be reminded that God is the provider of what we have. God really is the one who we need to give credit for where we are in life, for the blessings we are as people that live in North America, one the small continent compared to the many continents, places we could have been born, where financial situation are very difficult. And we need to honor God with what we have and what we produce, I believe. And I think God will bless those that honor him with what they are, what they have, and give back to him. So I want to leave that as an encouragement to each of you. And that's all I have. I'll leave it open for testimonies or thoughts from you.